12 tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word tonight. Romans chapter number 12, and I want to talk to you tonight on your reputation. What is your reputation tonight? If nobody knew you out in this church, outside of this church, what would your reputation be? I stopped by yesterday and visited a man that had just moved into the town that we live in. And I told this morning his first take on the church was a bunch of fake hypocrites, not real. And I told him on every one of them, I said, you're correct. You're absolutely right. Churches are full of them kind of people. You're right. Hey, I mean, I can't argue with him, right? I mean, you can't argue with him. That's true. That's true in what he was saying. And he said, we don't do church. We're not going to go to church. And just let in. And I told him, I said, man, I understand. He said, preacher, how'd you get past that? I told him, I said, well, let me tell you about a man that I know, a man named Jesus, a man that has saved my life and how he's changed my life around. And went into telling him that. And I seen his whole complexion, his whole demeanor, everything about him come moving down and opened up where I could talk to that man. There's going to be times that your reputation is going to be put on the line, and you got to see how you're going to react and what you're going to do. It's one thing to have your reputation in here as a Christian, but what about your reputation out there? Is it as a Christian as well? No, I'm talking to the main church tonight. I'm talking to the body tonight, but I want to share with you tonight my reputation and your reputation tonight. Romans chapter number 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 9. If you don't mind, I got a name I want you to pray for this week. The man I talked to, his name is Luke. So I want you to lift up the man's name, Luke, that God would give me another opportunity to go by his house and another opportunity to invite him to come to God's house. Amen? And invite him with the Word. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you for the plan that you've laid out before us tonight. The plan of our reputation and how we need to follow you and do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray tonight for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you just bless them throughout this coming up week. Lord, I pray you give them the desires of their heart as they delight themselves in you. Father, I pray you open the doors that no man can open. And Lord, I pray you shut doors that no man can shut. Lord, whatever you want to open, I pray you open it up. Lord, I pray tonight that your will be done throughout this service. Father, I thank you for our men and our women and our kids at this local body. Lord, I thank you for the ones that lead and the ones that do and the ones that are very faithful in what you've called them to do. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless me tonight as I preach this word. I pray you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let what I say tonight be all about you and nothing about me. I pray tonight when we walk out of this place that we've examined our reputation and as we call ourselves a Christian tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for returning our men and women back safe. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Your reputation tonight. Tonight as we come here and we look in the book of Romans tonight, we see that the Lord has given us, Sunday nights ago, he has given us the gift of salvation, the gift of the Spirit, and the gift of service. And how we treat them will be the reputation that we have in our life. The way we treat them gifts that he's given us will show the reputation that we have as a Christian. Do you know tonight what kind of reputation that you have as a Christian tonight? Do you know how other people look at you? Do you know how they look at you when you walk in? Do they look at you and say, well, it don't really matter. He don't stand or she don't stand for a whole lot. Or do they watch their mouth around you and not use language that they shouldn't use? What is your reputation as a Christian? Only you know when you walk in amongst people. Only you know how they treat you when you walk in there. Do they treat you with honor and respect, or do they disrespect you? Hey, tonight I'd like to say to you this. There's two places that your reputation and my reputation is being formed. Not being found, but being formed. There's two places that your reputation is being formed tonight as we study this portion of Scripture tonight. There's two places that it's being formed or created, and I want to look at both of them tonight. And to start that off tonight, I want to look, number one, at the reputation within the church. The reputation that you have within a local body tonight. And tonight he starts off in verse number 9. He said, but let love be without dissimulation. And that would be tonight with camouflage or to fake tonight. Don't camouflage the love that you have one to another, or show fake love that you have one for another. The writer, as little as he is, he already knows how to produce a fake love. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? A writer, he can get in trouble or something, and he'll run up to you and he'll say, with tears running down his face, he'll say, daddy, I love you. And I know that ain't really what he means. Really what he means is I don't want to get in trouble again. That's really what he is saying. But tonight he's coming here and he says he don't want you to fake the love that you have for the brethren or camouflage it tonight. He wants you to be real in what God has called you to do. And I see tonight, number one, the reputation within the church that we must have compassion for the brethren. We must have compassion for one another. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. Let love be without. He said, let that love be inside of you tonight within the church. Let love tonight. You know, you can choose to let love or to hold back love tonight. And as we come tonight in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That first fruit of the Spirit there that we see, it is love tonight, that we have love one for another. If you think about this tonight in John 13:35, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And tonight, can I say to you, your reputation inside of the church, are you easy to love or are you hard to love? Does love flow out of you? Does love come out of you just everywhere you go? Are you a mean person or a hateful person? And you say, well, that's just how so-and-so is. Oh, no, my friend. If you're hateful or you're mean, that's deep down inside of you tonight. And that is not a characteristic of a child of God tonight. That is not a reputation that should be in a child of God tonight. In 1 John chapter number 3, in verse number 14, if you'll turn with me there tonight, I see that compassion for the brethren. He says, let love. The Spirit is love tonight. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. But in 1 John 3:14 tonight, this is how you know that you're saved tonight. If you ever want to know if you're a child of God tonight, it's how you have love one for another, how you have love for your brethren, how you have love for your sisters tonight, and how you love one another. You say, preacher, I can't get along with a lot of people. Well, if most of the people you can't get along with, you may be the problem. If I can't get along with 90% of the church, maybe I'm the percent that's the problem, amen? But tonight I want to show you this. When you become a child of God tonight, he implants that love inside of you because God is love tonight. That's what he is tonight. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we've come from death unto life. We're no longer dead in our sins, but we have come to life. We're alive and well. And look what he says. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you want to know what your reputation is tonight, if you're a child of God tonight, if you've been born again, if you love the brethren, that is a clue tonight that you are born again tonight. That's the compassion that we have one for another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And here's what the Bible says. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you don't love your brother and sister in Christ, how are you going to love somebody out in the world? Friends, tonight, I want you to get this. There's churches that are divided right down the middle. The right side sits there. The left side sits there. They never talk to one another. They have no love one for another. I've been in many of churches and revivals and go in, and you can see the division just as clear as it is right down the middle. If there's one thing I pray this place never gets to, is where we don't have love one for another, but we love one another. We don't get to the place where we got this going on and that going on, but we love love one another. Amen? And that love, it does so much in your life. Number one, I say it's the compassion that you have for the brethren. You love them. But number two, you're kindly affectionate to the brethren. Not only do you love him, but you're kindly affectionate to him. When he hurts, you hurt. When he's in trouble, you're in trouble. When he's going through something, you're going through something. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 9. He says, abhor that which is evil. That means to hate, to do away with, to get away from, do not associate with, and cleave to that which is good. And he said, I want you to have compassion, but I also want you to be kindly affectionate one to another with what? Brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Tonight, can I say to you that when you're kind to somebody, that goes a long ways, don't it? Just the other day, me and Kaylee, we was talking, and she said, well, some people, Daddy, they may not do hugs, or they may not do this. I said, if you walk up around that person, and they're having a bad day, and you run that arm around that neck and tell them God loves them, I want you to know, even if they ain't a hugging person, it's going to do them good, amen? If you're kindly affectionate to that individual, when you see them, you know it. You know what kind of day they're having, how you can upbuild them and love on them. Are you the one that encourages, or are you the one that discourages? Which one? Only you know your reputation. Only you know your reputation. So tonight, number one, you must be compassionate for the brethren, but you ought to be kindly affectionate to the brethren. You say, preacher, how do I love people? Or can you teach me that? The Bible says I can't teach you how to love. Only God can teach you how to love. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 9. That only comes from God tonight. He said there's no need of trying to teach this because it comes from God. The only way you can get this kind of love, the only way you can get this kind of affection tonight is by being a child of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, look what the Bible says. And here's what Paul told the church at Thessalonica. He said, but as touching brotherly love, as touching how to love brothers, this is what he said. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, you can't teach it at church. You can't beat it in them. You can't rail them with it. If they don't love one another, that's only come from God. That love that you have one from another, it comes from God. I see the reputation within the church. Are you compassion? Am I have compassion? Do I have kindly affectionate one to another? Do you have kindly affection one to another? And you say, well, I love my brethren. I do, and I'm nice to everybody. Well, what about how is your service to the Lord? See, that's the next thing he gives here, the reputation within the church. If we find in verse number 11, not only should we have compassion for the brethren and be kindly affectionate for the brethren, but how is our service to the Savior? How do we serve the Savior? How do we serve in a way that is pleasing to God? We had a meeting tonight with a new worship team, the choir that's going to come in, and one requirement that we had with them, and we told them from the get-go, is that they must be faithful. We want them to be faithful in what God has called them to do. We want them to be faithful in what the calling God's put on their life, and we want them to be faithful. Why, preacher? Because God wants them to be faithful. I want you to know tonight, God loves faithfulness. He does. He loves faithfulness. And he just loves it tonight. I can't express that enough, how he loves faithfulness tonight. Look in verse number 11, and you say, preacher, how do I know tonight that I am a child of God? How do I know tonight that my reputation, and I'm in right fellowship with God, and I'm not just going through the motion tonight? Number one, you're going to have compassion for the brethren. Number two, you're going to have that kindly affectionate. But number three, your service is going to be right when God's called you to do a service. Look what he says, not slothful in business, but fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. He said the next thing, how we serve the Lord. You say, what does that mean tonight, preacher, not slothful? That when you work for the Lord or you do anything within the church, your reputation is, hey, if you call on them to do it, they will not be slow about it, but they'll get it done. I like people like that, don't you? They don't drag their feet, they get it done. They're not slow, they're not lazy, they don't hesitate, they don't put off, but they're very fervent in what they've called them to do. They're not slothful, but they're fervent in the spirit. You say, what is that fervent in the spirit? They're boiling, bubbling over, or they're on fire. And you say, preacher, do I have to stay on fire? Must I be on fire? I say to you tonight, you need to be on fire for God. You need to be on fire. And when you're on fire, it's contagious to the next brother. It's contagious to the next sister. It is contagious. My wife and my daughter came home from that trip this weekend. And I'm telling you what, I got home about 2 o'clock today after we got everybody loaded up and gone. And from 2 to about 3:30, all I heard was the trip and how good a time they had. And you said, "Preacher, what did that do to you?" That bubbled me over. That excited me. It was like I was there when they come in and they told about devotions that were shared and how God was moving and how God was feeding them. And "Preacher, what did that do to you?" When they come in bubbling, that fed me. Now, if they come in and it was all doom and gloom, that wouldn't feed me. When people walk in this place, they ought to see people that love one another and doing the service of the Lord and on fire and bubbling over. You say, what good would that be? Well, the church at Ephesus, let me give you this. You say, "I don't have to be on fire for God." Well, the church at Ephesus, he said this in Revelation chapter number 2 in verse number 4. He said this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." When you start drifting away from what God's called you to do, you're going to be away from your first love. And your first love ought to be Christ Jesus. That's my first love. I ought to get back where I need to be. Not only the church at Ephesus, but the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:16. He said they were a lukewarm church. He didn't like neither one, leaving their first love or becoming lukewarm. So what does he want us to do? He wants us to be on fire for him and do what he's called us to do. I see the service to the Lord. We ought to not be slothful. We ought to be fervent in the spirit. And we ought to be enthusiastic about what the Savior has done in our life. We ought to be enthusiastic about what the Savior has done in our life. Let me give you this tonight, if you will, in verses 12 through 15. You said, "Preacher, I don't have a whole lot to rejoice about." You're alive. That's enough. Brandy left me with Ryder this weekend. Y'all know I had to talk about this. I gave y'all a chance to talk about y'all this weekend. And Friday, she left, and I brought him home, brought the little feller home. First time I've been with him by myself. I mean, I'm talking about son at nighttime. This is scary. I brought that little feller home, and I've watched her how she done it. Sister Holly, I watched her how she done it. I watched her how she done it. And I memorized how to be kind and how to be affectionate toward that little feller. At 8:30, he wanted to go to bed. I didn't say we staying up 10. You know what I did? I said, "I got to get the sippy cup. I got to put him on a pillow a certain way. And I'm going to have to get hugged up real tight to him so he'll go to bed." I had watched her and what she had done. And you know what happened? It worked perfect. It worked like a glove. It fit perfect. Next morning we woke up. The next night I done the same thing. I repeated over. The only uh-oh, and if I did have an uh-oh, I was not calling her. Daddy's, can I get amen? The only way she know we've been to the emergency room, it come across email somehow. The only uh-oh I had was this morning when she FaceTimed and he was eating gummy bears at 7 o'clock in the morning. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You said, "Preacher, how is that?" Because I was enthused to keep my son. It wasn't a burden. It was a blessing. You said, "Preacher, what are you talking about? What does that got to do with church?" There's going to come a time in your life, you're going to go through a season, you're going to have to do something that you don't usually do. You're going to have to do it a way that you don't do it. I wanted to be on the trip with them men so bad, boy. I was this chomping. Brother Riley called, gave me a great example of how to go. He said, "Man, we can go now. I'll ride up with you. We'll eat supper and we'll come back." I said, "How far is it?" He said, 3 hours up, 3 hours back. I said, ain't no way. Not for just a night trip. But see, let me give you this where I'm at in my life right now. I knew that my wife needed to go. And I knew that she needed to be with my daughter. And I knew that they needed time together. And I said, "I'm going to stay back and I'm going to watch him and I'm going to let you go." He said, "Preacher, did you want to do that?" No. No, I did not want to do that. I'd a lot rather been with y'all doing something else. But that's not where I'm at in my life right now. I'm running a rabbit, but listen to me. You said, "Preacher, is that a service to the Lord?" I guarantee it is. Just being a daddy is a service to the Lord. Doing what God's called you to do is being a service to the Lord. That is either in this church or outside of this church. Let me give you something else. And I was enthusiastic about doing. Let me give you this. To be enthusiastic in verse 12, verse 10, 15. Look, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. So we ought to just be enthusiastic of whatever comes our way throughout this week, our reputation within the church, we see that we have. But let me give you something else tonight. You got a reputation in here, but you also got a reputation outside the church. I only know some of you in here. And if somebody asked me about you, I'd say he's faithful. He works hard. He does good. She works hard. She does good. She does this. She does that. Whatever it is. You put me down for a resume and you never show up to church and they call and say what kind of church member they are and you're never at church. You know what I'm going to say? I don't know what kind of worker they'll be, but I know they won't be faithful. You'd say that, preacher? How could I lie about it? All I see is you in here. If I see you faithful here, I've never worked with Brent Gunner a whole lot. I've never worked with Jake, but I can tell you this. Jake's at church every time his door is open. I don't know how good a job he'll do you working, but I know he'll be faithful. You say, preacher, coming to church don't matter. Yes, it does. When you put a preacher down or you put a deacon down for a resume, it makes a big difference. You see what I'm saying? Your reputation in here. You may be the hardest worker you can be out yonder, but when they call for the reputation, what's going on inside the church, what kind of resume are you going to give? What are we going to be able to say about you? Folks, it's important to be in the house of God. You've got a reputation that's going on in here. You've got brothers and sisters. You've got a God in heaven that's watching you, and we're growing from one another. We're strengthening with one another, and we're being kind to one another. We're loving on one another, and we're serving God one with another. And we got a reputation in here. My reputation, I want it to be this when I'm gone, that he was faithful in what God's called him to do. I can't be faithful in what Kevin McDaniel does. I got to be faithful in what God's called me to do in the season in my life. And I have to do that tonight. And folks, I'm dealing with this in a hard way. My wife knows it. I'm dealing with it in a hard way. I'm in a season right now. And I want you to know, you may be in a season. And you say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm getting anything accomplished. You stay faithful to what God's called you to do. You stay faithful. You got a reputation inside the church. If you quit now, what good is it going to be tomorrow? You got a reputation inside the church, but you got a reputation outside the church. And as your pastor, I want my reputation to be the same in here as it is out there. And I want yours to be the same. Let me give you this tonight. If you'll look with me in the next few verses, 18 through 19, I want to show you this reputation outside the church. If I ask you tonight, Brother Tony, if I ask you tonight, what's your reputation out of here, what would you say it would be? A man of God? Following Jesus? Do you follow him different out there than you do in here? Same? You don't have to put on no mask, change? Same? He's the same, you should be the same. Amen. But J.D., your reputation in here and out there, would it be the same? Just the same, no different, no mask. No difference. No difference. They're watching in both places, folks. And I want to show you your reputation outside the church. Your reputation outside the church is what may lead people inside the church. But also your reputation outside the church could lead people away from the church. When I talked to that man yesterday, he said, man, we've been church hurt in a bad, bad way. In a bad, bad way. And folks, listen tonight, that should not happen in a local body. Let me show you this tonight in the text. Let me show you this. You say, preacher, what about this tonight, the reputation outside the church? Look with me. This is people that are not in the church, not in the body of Christ. Look what he says tonight in verse number 18. We see the reputation outside the church. Number one, we should have a peaceful reputation. You say, what is that, Brother BJ, peaceful? Look what he says. If it be possible. Now, you got to try it for it to be possible. You don't have to get along with everybody, but you're going to have to try to get along with everybody. If it be possible. Just because you don't like them, that ain't possible. I mean, you ain't gave it a chance. Boy, I hope I'm talking to somebody. You've been dealing with it. And you said, preacher, just if it be possible, as much as within life in you, as much as God's put in you, live peaceably with all men. The reputation outside the church, you ought to have a peaceful reputation. You should say that there's no way in the world that I want to pay them back or I want to give it back to them. You ought to just be living peacefully. Hebrews, if you'll turn with me there, chapter number 12. I want to show you this in the text tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you'll turn with me there, in verse number 14, I see that we should have a peaceful reputation outside the church. Hebrews 12, 14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You've got to have peace. I see the reputation outside the church should be peaceful, but I also see in verse 19 it should be powerful. You should have power outside this church, that you ought not have to fight every battle that comes your way. There's times I just need to shut my mouth, close it, pray, let God handle it. The battle's His. It's already been won. If you try to fight it in your own power, number one, it's going to weaken your testimony. It's going to weaken what you. It's going to weaken it in a mighty way. Look with me, if you will, in the text. If you will, in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You say, preacher, what does that mean? There's sometimes we just have to keep marching on. Just keep marching on. It's a peaceful reputation. It's a powerful reputation. The Lord fights his or her battles. The Lord fights it. But I don't only see it's peaceful. The reputation outside the church is peaceful. I don't only see it's powerful. But I see you have a public reputation. You can't hide from it. It's public. It's for all to see. And how you react throughout a week tells where we're at with Christ. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 20. You say, preacher, I'm having a problem. How do I handle it? The Bible gives you that. If you've got a problem with somebody, here's how you answer it. It's hard to do this. It's hard to do this. I was at a place the other day, and there was this individual there, and I knew. I didn't know what I'd done wrong to him, Sister Missy. But every time I've been seeing you, you've been high-hatting me. I don't like to be high-hatted. Do y'all? I don't like, and especially when I know you've done it. You're doing me that way. And I seen him. And I went to go to where he was at, and he dodged me and went around. Well, I called him on the other side, he went the other way. And I said, well, I know where he's going to go to. He's got to. Ain't no other way out. So I went over and stood. And just stood. And he come walking my way and done his head down. I said, hey, brother, how you been doing? He stuck my hand out. He said, I've been doing okay. And I just held his hand there. And I said, man, you know I love you. Man, you know I love you. What's going on, man? Man, you know I love you. What's going on? He said, man, I ain't where I need to be. And I sure didn't want to talk to you. I said, man, talking to me ain't going to do a bit of good. Dodging me ain't going to do a bit of good, man. I love you. You see, him dodging me made me think I've done something wrong. Right? And you're just an innocent bystander by what they're carrying around on them. A public reputation. So, preacher, what do you need to do? You need to love them. Pour it out on them, son. Hug them up, love them up. Cheer them up, root them on, whatever you need to do. You say, they're my greatest enemy. They ought to be the closest person to you. He said, no. Keep your enemies away. Oh, no, you keep your enemies close. He said, what? Oh, yeah. God will make it right. Look what the Bible says. Look with me here. Verse 20. Look with me here. Look what he says. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, the one that you think is against you, what are you supposed to do to him? Feed him. If he thirst, give him something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But in 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Tonight, you got a reputation that you need to uphold. I got a reputation that I need to uphold. And I don't need to let the cares of this world tear down my reputation. I don't need to let the things going on in this world tear down my reputation. And tonight, I don't know what your reputation is inside this church. And I don't know what your reputation is outside this church. But I do know this. You know exactly what it is. And my prayer is this, that you're the same in here as you are out there. And I pray that God blesses you this week and you take care of your reputation. You take care of that reputation. Once you ruin that reputation, it's hard to get it back. Once you ruin that reputation, and you know something else, can I say this? Once you fly off the handle, do I got any fly off the handlers? Once the handle's flew, it don't come back. You can go pick it up and bolt it back on, dude, but once you blow your top, the top's been blown. What I need to do, preacher, is love one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Serve God. Uphold your reputation. Be careful with it. You only got one. You only got one reputation. You only got one. This week we was at the beach, Brother JD. You're going to get a kick out of this. Got down there. And they didn't want to carry a tent to get under to keep them getting sunburnt. All they wanted was an umbrella for five people to get under. When we get down there, and five people don't fit under an umbrella. It don't work. You can't put them under. And the only thing laid out underneath that umbrella was the tops of my feet. And when I'm telling you burnt, son, crisp, burnt, crisp. Next morning I get up, I look down, I said, oh, no. Shire don't even feel good touching it. You know what I'm saying? You ever been burnt like it? Yeah. Hurting bad. Kaylee said, what you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to think on this one for a little bit. I said, I can go down there barefoot just like I am and be one of the biggest idiots you've ever seen and get burned again. Or I can do something about it. And God spoke to me clearly on this. Listen, I know I'm crazy. God spoke to me clearly on this. He said, if you've done been burnt, don't do it again. If it's done burnt, you want, don't do it again. If you've done been down that road and it's hurt you, don't go down that road. Don't do it again. Take care of it. So I loaded up a tent, put it on Collar's back, Pack Mew. Put it on his back, Kaylee's friend, Pack Mew. And we got going to the beach, and I had on my black socks, Sister Patsy, black socks. And we get on that board to go down, you know where you go into the sand. Kaylee said, you wearing them socks? I said, you betcha. On the beach? You betcha. In the water? You betcha. You ain't going to take them off? I said, uh-uh. She said, people going to think you crazy. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. See, I didn't know what it was to be burnt. Next time I went out, I protected it. Listen, if you've done burnt your reputation, if around here you're unfaithful, slothful, not fervent, not on fire, you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. You put something on, his name's Jesus. You wrap yourself up in him. The cares of this world, the heat of this world, the things that come against you, it'll have to come against him. But when you step out of his umbrella and you step out where he's at and away from him and you go on your own, you're going to get burnt. But if you'll get back underneath where he is, he'll take care of you. I don't know what your reputation is tonight, but I pray it's this, that you're the same in here as you are out there. And if you ain't, this week's a perfect chance to turn that around. Amen? Let's gather around this room tonight and pray.